Okay, so hi, I'm Leslie, and this is my show. I wanted to explain, like, sort of how this show is put together. It's sort of put together in three different parts. There's the section over here, which is based on my experience in Wyoming at a residency, and it's basically referencing rocks in the Wyoming landscape. And then this section here is referencing birds, and it has to do with this species of birds called chimney swifts. And they come to my neighborhood every year, and they inhabit this old abandoned chimney that's right down the street from my house. And so I'll explain that later. And then the other section over here is about water. So I'll try to kind of touch on each one. So the one over here, the one about, maybe we should walk over here so I can talk to you about that. So in February of this year, I did a residency in Wyoming, in Sheridan, Wyoming, at the Gentel Artist Residency. And I was there for 4 weeks. I drove out for a week and then stayed for 4 weeks and then drove back for a week. It was very, very intense. And I was, being in Wyoming in February is like one of those things where people kind of look at you and say, why would you think about going to Wyoming in February? And I thought that I was going to be absolutely freezing and just going to hide in my studio the entire time. But actually what ended up happening was because of the dryness of the weather, or because it's so dry out west, and it could get down to minus 20 at times. But because of the dry weather, I actually didn't feel cold ever. It was very strange. I had my down jacket, and I, you know, when I was bundled up, I was able to just go out into the wilderness and explore. So I spent most of the time that I was there outdoors, and I actually sat outside and did observational drawings of the rocks while I was there. So it would sit in the snow, and I have, you know, I'd have my little brushes sitting in the snow next to me, and then my, you know, cup of ink. So the thing that I was amazed at was that in Wyoming it is just absolutely still. There was absolutely no movement in this February snow-covered iced landscape. And so it was very hard for me to figure out what it was that I was going to be inspired by, because in my work normally, as you can see, this is sort of more typical of my work, is talking about water, talking about wind, talking about energy. So there was a lot, which you see a lot of in the East Coast, but for some reason, when I got out there, it was just absolutely dead still, and I could not see anything move. And I would stand in the landscape, and I actually couldn't hear a thing. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever experienced this before, but there was just a complete silence to the point where my ears started ringing, and I was like, ugh, you know, just actually kind of unpleasant. And then I kind of got used to it over time. So I had a really hard time figuring out what it was that I was going to focus on and what I was going to do in this residency. And so what I ended up doing is I walked through the wilderness and found these rocks that were just kind of placed, they were just sort of scattered throughout the landscape. And they were old volcanic rocks that had been there since, you know, millions and millions of years ago. And they were popping up through the snow. So these drawings here started out as observational drawings of the rocks popping through the snow. So the white spaces with that are in between all of the marks or all of the painting is representative of the snow. And then the paintings started out as just very loose, very just kind of spontaneous, observational brush paintings, just ink and brush. And so once I got that down, I actually collected maybe 20 or 30 of these paintings. And when I got back to my home in Baltimore, all of that energy and all of that chaos rushed into my life again. In fact, it was crazy. The first day I came back to Baltimore, I could hear everything so, you know, I could hear the sirens and I could hear the people and I could hear the cars and I could hear, it was just like overwhelming. So that's the combination, you know, that then I started adding to them. And so the energy that you see in these paintings or drawings has to do with that combination of the peace that I felt in Wyoming and then that sort of like chaotic energy that came through when I got home. So, the main thing that really my work is based on is observation of nature. So everything here has to do with my experience observing nature and my experience being in nature, because it's like a very important part of my life, and I find it really necessary to be in the wild in order to kind of feel connected to life. So the bird piece here, I'll talk a little bit more in depth about the chimney swifts. So the chimney swifts are a type of bird that migrates north to south, as all birds do. And during their migration period, they stop over in different places along the way. And one of the places that these particular birds stopped was at my street in Baltimore, which is pretty cool. And I wonder sometimes, I'm like, why would you want to stop in a city, you know? But they actually find these old abandoned chimneys, and they look for a place to live for a period of time while they're on their way north or south. I think in this case, they were on their way south because they come, you know, when they're ready for the winter, they start going down south. So periodically, they change, like the amount of birds that come will change each year, so they actually aren't the same birds each year. But one year, there were thousands of them. And what they do, when the sun starts to go down at night, they start to come back to the chimney, and they start circling around the chimney like a whirlpool, and they just circle and circle, and they start coming one at a time from wherever they are, you know, looking for food, and they come, they all arrive sort of at the same time at dusk, and then you'll see that they just start circling and circling, and as the sun goes down, each one of them starts diving into the chimney one at a time, and they're just like pew pew pew, and they go one at a time. It's really fascinating, and you never see them bump into each other, which is always amazing to me. And I don't know who's in charge, but you know, sometimes it's funny because they'll like get all chaotic and they're not in the right cycle, and then someone will say, "Hey guys, we got to get back in cycle." And then they'll get back into this whirlpool. So it's really interesting to watch them like go off their game and then come back on, and you know, and then start diving in. So that's what this was inspired by, and I it was just totally amazing to me that they are able to just come into that chimney without any trouble at all. So, and then what they'll do is they'll sleep in the chimney. That's where they kind of stay overnight. I don't know exactly how long they stay in Baltimore. I think it's maybe a month or two or something, right around October, September, and then they head down south when the winter comes. So this section over here is about water, and if you go around the other side of the wall, there's a video that I'll let you guys, we won't all go back there at once, but I'll let you guys go back on your own. But mainly, this particular piece is a response to the mineral pools in Yellowstone. So when I was in Wyoming, I had an opportunity to drive out to Yellowstone in the middle of winter, which is also kind of an unusual time to go to Yellowstone. And you hear about how in the summer Yellowstone is just filled with like thousands and thousands of New Yorkers or something. And so, but in the winter, it was fantastic because I was actually, when I first arrived and I walked through the mineral pools of the first place, which is called, where I stayed, it's called the Mammoth Springs, Mammoth Hot Springs. And I walked through the path and I was the only person there. And it was just fascinating. So there's steam coming off of these pools, and there's colors, and there's, you know, just, it's just unbelievably spectacular. And I took tons of pictures and just really, and just sat there and looked at it for many, many, you know, minutes, because it got really cold. I think I was out there for like an hour and a half. So that's sort of what came out of that experience. I think that's all I have to say for now. Are there any questions? How are things made, maybe? So each one of these pieces is hand-cut, and they're then pinned to the wall with entomological pins. And these are made with a wood paper from Japan that's just almost like a veneer. It's like a slice of wood. But it's very, very thin. And then the light-colored ones here are laser-cut, and then the dark ones are cut with a wood-burning tool. So that gives it the dark edge. And, so I think that's... And I think of... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Question about the birds. Mm-hmm. Do they go in... chimneys, or is there just one?
They do, yeah, yeah. In fact, this year I found, I was really surprised because there was another chimney that was right next to that original chimney, and they were diving into that one, and I was like, what's going on? You know, I was like very confused. But apparently they don't really, they're not like loyal to one chimney. They'll go to other chimneys, and they're also different schools. Schools of birds, or I don't know what you would call it, but different families, I guess, that come at different times. So it's not always the same birds that come to the same chimney each year. So yeah, it's kind of interesting how they...
Are these active chimneys? Like, presumably not all the birds are diving in. But I'm wondering if people are, you know, want to use their chimney and they know that the birds have been there. They have to get it cleaned.
I know for a fact that those two chimneys are not active. They're actually chimneys for, there's a bookbinding company where it's like a really huge chimney. It's like an industrial chimney. So that's the one that they were originally diving into. And then the one next door is also an industrial building. So it's unusual that you'll see them in, just a house or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I was picturing. Yeah. I was trying to picture what they looked like inside the chimney, and it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know what they look. I have to look at that too. To see, like, are they hanging upside down like bats or something? Yeah. Like, what are they doing? They're like, you know, sleeping with their little wings. And so, yeah. Any other questions? Oh, I forgot, yeah. So the four pieces back here are the observational drawings. They're just four of many that I did that sort of inspired the rock paintings. So those were the ones that I did when I was sitting out in the snow and observing and drawing from life.
A little bit about having the opportunity to do this like really large scale installation, you know, and if you've done previous works like that,
yeah,
or, you know, and what the planning process for that was like.
Oh, that's a great question. So I have done quite a bit of large scale installation work before, and actually this is the year that I said to myself, I'm not doing this anymore, because
so
it's
after this installation or before?
it was, well, probably before. I think I did make a decision. I was like, this is the last one I'm doing because it's just so exhausting and so difficult physically. I worked on this probably for, I don't know, 25 hours or something, just installing it. But I have done large-scale installations before, and it started in 2009. I did my first one, and it was about, it was called Subtle Disturbance, and it was about viruses and how they sort of creep and, infiltrate our lives, and we don't have any control over them. And so that sort of started this idea of creeping the artwork all over the wall. And trying to give that impression of uncontrolled kind of energy. So, but this one is a little bit different because it's really more specific to a certain event that I saw. So it's a little bit different than the other ones. But preparing for it, I actually installed this in my studio foam core before I brought it here. So it was already completely installed on pieces of foam core, and then I laid all the foam core out on the floor in the order that they needed to be installed, and then I would take, and my mom helped me, where'd she go? Oh, there she is. Amazing. So she would hold the foam core up, and I would just take the birds and start, putting them on. So it was kind of like recreating. It was difficult because I had to recreate what was on the foam core and kind of like do it all over from scratch in a way, even though I knew kind of where they were going. And then the painting is actually, I didn't even tell you about the painting. So the painting is actually a projection of a drawing that I did that was more just kind of a like an abstract drawing about energy and about wind. And so I projected the drawing onto the wall and then traced the outline of the drawing, parts of the drawing, on the wall, and then painted the interior of the tracing. And then this is actually an overlapped drawing here. So all the pieces that are overlapping are painted in a darker color thanks to Joseph Albers and his color theory class. Yeah, so it reminded me of some of the color theory exercises I did in school, but it was really fun to do the painting. Yeah, so yeah, it's exhausting though. It's just, I actually had a massive headache after this was done.
How was it pinning into this wall?
It was great. Yeah, actually, so the pins that I use now, I used to use sewing pins and they were really difficult. Because they bend very easily, but these are very stiff pins. They're really designed to hold something and be stiff. So that was not a problem. But I do have tennis elbow from hammering. It's really amazing how much work goes in, how physical this labor is, you know. Yeah, but the hammering was fine. It's just just holding the hammer for, yeah. Yeah, so. Any other questions?
Would you think about like going to other landscapes? Is that something that's on your to-do list?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't really mention the one around the corner, which you guys should all see, is, interestingly enough, it's from the Caribbean in Mexico on the Yucatan Peninsula, so that was kind of cool that it all kind of comes full circle. That was a video of the ocean coming into shore where there was seagrass, and so the seagrass is kind of blowing not in the wind, but it's kind of moving as the ocean comes in and out. So everywhere I go, I do this kind of observation, and I pull information from wherever I go. And so, yeah, I definitely, I actually had a chance to go to Italy this summer, and was able to take a lot of images from Italy too, and do a lot of landscape painting and observational drawing there. So that was, I try to do that wherever I go. I don't have a particular landscape that I'm looking to. It's more like I let it come to me,
yeah.
And I just sort of let it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you feel like if you have a residency in some place like Wyoming, it sort of it refreshes your work? Do you
yes.
feel like that is something that brings something new in your practice?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, this work is really different from a lot of the stuff I've done in the past. Because of the solidity of the rocks, most of my work is very fluid, and so it really required a different kind of mark and a different kind of like color combination, and so it just has a very different feel to it. And I'm very grateful that I was able to go to Wyoming and have that kind of kickstart another series of work, a series of work that's very different. And that's one of those things that the guy upstairs was talking about, this sort of fear. Oh no, you were talking about that when you change, like when you put yourself out there and you try something new, it can all, you know, you always have that fear that it's going to fail. I was sure that this stuff was going to fail, because I was like, no, I can't go. I have to do some, now that I'm doing something different. I was like, oh my gosh, is it going to be received well? Is it going to, you know, are people going to be like, oh, this is terrible? You know, so it was very, very scary to go to another, kind of visual information, pick from different visual information. Yeah.
It's interesting thinking about the stillness.
Yeah.
Versus a lot of the movement of energy fields, wind and water,
mm-hmm.
things that I know from previous work, and being caught by those
yeah.
rocks.
The other thing I didn't really mention was one of the things that I started to see in the rocks was how they were formed. Like when you look at them really closely and you start to get to know them, you realize they're actually formed by liquid. They're actually formed by volcanoes erupting, so they are liquid, and then the water comes through, because that area in Wyoming was once underwater. It was once the sea, and it had glaciers that came through. So there's all this movement that has influenced the rocks and that has created the rocks. So that's another part of why I felt like the movement made sense to integrate it with the rocks. So thank you guys so much for staying. I know you must be exhausted.